Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you earn, save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. Today, we are all about busting some financial myths. These myths, by their very nature, can get in the way of people making the right decisions because they are guided by false information to start with. So in this episode, we will focus on busting myths around financial advice. And joining us to explore this topic is a financial planning subject matter expert. You've heard him cover superannuation and general advice in previous episodes. Please welcome back Jeremy Lack from Telstra Super Financial Planning. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me back on the podcast, Michelle.
No dramas. Now, first up, for our listeners that have never had financial advice, what can they expect?
In our first meeting with a prospective client, it's really about getting to know them better. And it actually does cover a lot more than just the finances. So the first thing I'm looking to understand when I meet with a client is what's truly important to them. So this might be things such as what their family life looks like, what their work situation is, more about their lifestyle, what they value, and what really makes life interesting for them. And once we understand the current state, we then start to look forward into the future, because at the end of the day, it's all about planning, right? So if they cast their mind forward, what does life look like for them in, say, 5 to 10 years' time? As advisors, we hear such a broad range of things that people are interested in. It's quite a privileged position, really, because people tell you all sorts of things in terms of their plans for the future and their interests and what they want to achieve in life. So I feel very lucky to have those conversations with people. Yeah, some of the common things we often hear is when people are looking to maybe, obviously stop work or change jobs, but, the holidays that people want to take, potentially moving home to new areas or helping out the family. But, I've had some really interesting conversations with people who are planning to, say, run their first marathon in their 70s, which is not the kind of thing you come across every day, but very interesting nonetheless.
Those knees better hold up.
Yes.
For a marathon at 70.
I think they did. But and look, through this, we're also looking to gather some financial information as well. So things like assets, liabilities and cash flow, understand the client's financial habits and their relationship with money, and really try and understand if there's a bit of a gap in the current planning or current approach that we might be able to assist with in providing advice. Assuming that we agree that there is some advice needed, we'll agree on the next steps from there. And from there, it's really about putting together a formal recommendation, presenting that to the client so they're comfortable with it and they understand what we're doing, and then really implementing the changes and making sure everything's up and running.
That sounds very reasonable for the, a basic understanding of what professional financial advice looks like. But I must admit that it feels like a very intimidating first date to even be talking about your assets, because I find that a lot of people feel like they haven't saved enough or they haven't invested enough. But from what I can gather, it's not really about judging where you are compared to an invisible benchmark on where you should be financially, but rather, as you rightly pointed out, what are your needs? What are your goals if you're running a marathon? Or one of the trigger points that we often talk about at Money is when someone's starting a new family and they really want to set themselves up correctly at the very beginning. Now, one myth that we hear a lot is that you need to be nearing retirement to get financial advice. Is there a right age to get help?
Well, I would say the sooner the better, ultimately. For those nearing retirement or have recently retired, then there's definitely some things that we can help with, and people should definitely get advice as they go through that transition, because there's things around choosing the right form of income stream, maximizing things like the age pension, and also giving people the confidence to spend their money in retirement once they've stopped work. So all those things are really important and do require people to get advice at that point. But the sooner the better, ultimately, because the sooner people start, the more time they'll have on their side to invest and accumulate wealth towards specific goals and plans that they have for the future. They have more of an opportunity to build strong financial habits and financial literacy. And coming back to your point, Michelle, around helping people with their family and many people who come to us as they're looking to navigate the expanding costs of having a family and then through to, you know, potentially looking at education funding for children, right through to how do those children then get into the property market. And we see people increasingly trying to help out with that journey. And there's all those lifestyle journeys along the way that we can, as advisors, help people plan for. So it's things like, you know, buying the first home, you know, potentially upgrading that home, all those family type plans that we spoke about towards creating financial independence in the long term. So there's no right age. The sooner the better. It helps to really instill strong financial habits, accountability, and then ultimately confidence in financial decision making.
Perhaps the myth there is that you can always wait until you're nearing retirement to get financial advice, when in fact, if whether, like you said, if it's a lifestyle choice in your 30s, 40s, extra bonus points if you do it in your 20s. I wish someone told me to start doing so in my early days, straight after uni. Now, let's talk about those who do realize they need financial advice. So once they have the financial advice, how do they stay on track? Do they need to review the recommendations of the financial advisor, or how does it work?
Yeah, it's really important to periodically review the advice. And that is because the original advice you'll get is really just based on the known factors at that point in time. So we all know that life changes, right? And with that, our plans also change. So when that happens, there's a real need to reconsider whether the original strategies that we put in place are still appropriate and potentially rethink things or adjust the course as we go through. Another big reason is accountability. Left to our own devices, sometimes we can stray from the plan, and having that additional layer of accountability helps to keep people on track. So when you meet with an advisor, they'll also map out what ongoing service might be appropriate. And this will usually include some sort of periodic review, often annually, to check in regarding your current situation and anything that might have changed, as well as any other things you might consider, and then updates to the strategy thereafter.
Sometimes it's not just set and forget. You're wise to just kind of review it, just as you would if you need a regular dental checkup or, you know, doctor's checkup. You do need to do this. Now, let's talk about superannuation, because this is right up your wheelhouse. If you only have a small amount of super, is it still worth getting help? So I'm talking about those who may only have, say, $100,000 in their super, maybe $60,000, those who even cashed out their super during COVID. What would you say to them?
So there's no one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to getting advice. Even if you don't have a great deal in super at the moment, there's some things that everyone should be considering. Things like how the money is actually invested within the super fund. Don't just assume that it's the right mix for you because it's in the default option. So thinking about the way that the money in super is invested, the contributions that you're making, and what insurance that you might have through the fund as well. So you might have some default insurance cover, which again, shouldn't be assumed it's right for you, because it may not be appropriate to your circumstances. So some funds like Telstra Super offer advice to members which can help address these issues in a more straightforward fashion through limited advice. However, just because you don't have a lot in super doesn't mean you shouldn't consider more comprehensive planning. In my experience as an advisor, when I think back to the people who got the most value from my advice, they actually didn't necessarily come to me with a significant amount in super or in overall assets, but it was through identifying what was important to them, agreeing on a plan, and then working progressively towards that over time that we've been able to make some things that they didn't think were possible actually a reality for them, which is very satisfying for them and professionally rewarding for me.
Now, I know a lot of our listeners are very self-driven. So DIY is part of the money DNA. But rather than, say, getting financial advice, is this something that people can just do their research and do it on their own?
Depends on the advice being provided, but in some cases, the answer might be yes, that they can. I do always urge some caution against this, though, because to your point, Michelle, there's so much information available out there on the internet that most people I've met who are trying to come up with their own plan or solution are highly educated on all these options that they could possibly choose, but they actually find it incredibly difficult to land on a course of action for them to take and end up taking no action at all, which in most cases is actually a pretty poor outcome. So even the most educated clients I've met often need advice just to navigate the many different options available to them and select one that's appropriate for them is actually aimed to put them in a better position. Thinking about those clients that are really well informed as well, most of them also have some gaps in their understanding of certain areas or haven't considered certain things. So this is where a professional advisor will come in and actually say, have you considered that? And challenge them on their thinking around different paths that they might be thinking about choosing. So it's through this experience and this education as advisors that we're able to challenge people, question their thinking sometimes, and present options that they may not have otherwise thought about, even as really well-informed individuals.
Now, we don't want people questioning our thinking, Jeremy. That's, you know, we're always right. But can you give me a specific example? So I know different people, different circumstances, but say a household where one person is earning less than the other, they may not know what options are out there for them. So what would be thinking differently look like?
When we think of a household and different circumstances in the household, particularly if this is, say, a young family, they might be thinking about the kids, what's important to the kids, the day-to-day responsibilities of raising children. They might be thinking about the mortgage and giving consideration to how are we going to try and pay down the mortgage, maybe upgrade the home or renovate the home at some point in time. What we often find that people don't consider and don't think about is what if something does go wrong? What if that higher income earner in the family isn't able to work for a period of time through illness or injury or something else? Or possibly a worst case scenario, what if they were to die? And these obviously aren't necessarily pleasant conversations to have or things to think about, but unfortunately these things do happen. So when we're meeting with people, perhaps a young family, people playing the responsibilities of a higher income earner and maybe someone who might be at home, not necessarily to say it has to be that type of structure, but there's often that gap in people's understanding or thinking through what the risks might be if something doesn't go to plan and how they can mitigate that.
Everyone wants to talk about numbers, and here at Money, we like to talk about money. So does financial planning have to be expensive? Let's talk about the myths around fees.
Not necessarily. Look, there's different types of advice, and it's about finding a fit that's right for you. As mentioned earlier, your super fund may offer a limited advice service where the cost is covered as part of your membership for simple advice relating to the fund. So you actually might be able to get some simple advice through your super fund with the cost of that being covered through the membership of the fund. When your advice needs are more expansive, there are different types of advisors who offer more comprehensive solutions, and the fees will depend on their services and the advice that they offer. Usually the cost for the advice will still be dependent upon the complexity of the work involved, though. As advisors, we have both a legal and ethical obligation to act in our clients' best interests, and part of that includes transparency around the fees that we charge and how we're remunerated as advisors. So you will have a good understanding from your advisor as to what fees you will be charged. At the end of the day, the most important thing is finding an advisor who truly understands what's important to you, what your overall needs are, and this will go a long way to making sure you get value from the exercise.
So in previous episodes, we have talked to our listeners about just calling their super fund because there is that service called the financial advice that they can access to. But just to be clear, at no point will you be charged anything without you knowing. I think that's what people are afraid of, that if they call you, that suddenly the, you know, you're being charged something already.
Absolutely right. So when you call your super fund, there's different services that the fund might offer, which might be as simple as giving you some factual information, through to general advice, through to different levels of personal advice, and they won't charge you a fee without you knowing about it. They have no right to charge you an advice fee without your prior consent.
Good to have that on record, Jeremy. So just a quick roundup, what are the myths around financial advice? One, that you may not need professional financial advice. That is incorrect. You really need to explore all your options. Two, it's only for those who are nearing retirement. Again, untrue. You should do it as soon as you can. Plenty of really good stuff there. But ultimately, because people are scared about fees, just understand that you can get what's called limited advice and that no one will charge you anything unless they, first of all, disclose that. So, Jeremy, you've been very helpful. Thank you so much for taking the time to explain all of that with us today.
Thanks for having me back on the podcast, Michelle.
No dramas. Before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love for us to cover through our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all the latest financial news and stories. That's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.